Well, good evening, saints. What a great evening to be here. Remember last week we had mentioned about news broadcasts about the Satanists coming into the schools. Remember that? Most of you that was here. This week I was reading the Prophetic Observer. If you get the Prophetic magazine, I'm telling you about, they send you this every month. And here's an article. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I want to read a couple of paragraphs. Tonight we will go on to a new subject, but this is, I'm not saying that from week to week, which I plan on doing, as I gather information, we're going to take a few minutes at the very beginning and bring up some of these things that's going on around us. And I have not finished the subject. I'm leaving it open from now until the church rises, okay? That might be just a day or two, but I'm not saying that we might not just take a Sunday night as we gather a lot of later information, and God's bringing it in all the time. Some come in tonight, didn't it? And we may take a night to get you caught back up again, because remember we were talking about basically is what in the world is going on out here today? What's going on around us? What's going on in our country? And I want to say this and add to it, and I mentioned this last week, folks, and I think in the week before, and we'll mention it again tonight, because with another thing that happened again this morning, it's just no secret, we are in an invisible war. As times get later and getting closer to the coming of Christ, you're going to see these demonic uprisings in your personal life, in the church, in our government, in our schools, in our news media, and every part of our life. Because remember, Satan knows his time is getting shorter and shorter and shorter. And the rise in this invisible war with demonic forces is coming up more and more. Don't think that this church and you are exempt from that. We're not. But remember who you belong to, remember who lives in you, and remember who you live in. And there is the key to the whole thing. So keep remembering that all the time. When Satan comes, we have the power and the authority to rebuke him and have him dismissed and leave. Amen. Okay, good news. A lot of you, Dan, y'all were in school. Good news clubs, you're familiar with that? All right, this evolves around that. And there were some things here that I didn't know about the good news clubs. The good news clubs proclaimed throughout the world was that the Son of God has come to earth and lived among men for just over 33 years. And I'm skipping paragraphs. I'm just hitting some highlights. The good news matters so much that the Child Evangelism Fellowship that it chose that label for the clubs it organizes and places in public schools where they are teaching millions of students each year. I didn't realize they were expanded, but I remember when I was in school, we also had this thing called Young Life. Is that familiar to you?
Not to me.
It was much like this here, where we met in homes like one night a month in people's private homes. The school kids did, and teenagers, we met. I went, and they would preach the gospel. It was amazing. Founded nearly 90 years ago, the CEF boasts of 3,500 staff members in nearly every country around the world. I did not know that. Last year, Good News Club spread the gospel to nearly 20 million young people. Wow. It is a fresh and delightful story when something old-fashioned, such as the promotion of goodness and decency makes a difference in the news world. Therefore, it is generally ignored by the media. Rudy and I didn't know a lot of this. Media don't cover this. They're not going to. Okay? All right, now listen to this. However, that is not the case with the polar opposites. So, predictably, the announcement that a new satanic club at Thurman Benedict Elementary School in San Clemente, California, why is it always California, scheduled its first meeting for mid-February, it makes the news. Ironically, the after-school Satan clubs organized seeks to piggyback across along with the GNC while at the same time working to undermine both the standing and accomplishments of the Good News clubs. Satan is upset. They're going to come in when something good is going on. Something for the gospel, Satan is going to be there and try to destroy it. Satanic clubs have already been established in Los Angeles, Orange County, among the various locations in other states, including Colorado, Pennsylvania, Virginia, and Massachusetts. And one was slated to meet last month in Memphis. Most of these liberal states. All right. The temple's, talking about Satanic Temple, the temple's website says it seeks to provide a safe and inclusive alternative to the religious clubs that use threats of eternal damnation to convert school children through their belief system. What a threat. Although even the presence of after-school Satan clubs shows how far America has sunk into moral relativism and also so-called clubs are not succeeding in their goal, which is to scare school authorities into banning all after-school groups. So as to oust Good News clubs, said the GNC news release, Satan cannot create anything but trouble, and this is the prime example. Yep. Josh Davis was one of our speakers, guys, that was at our prophecy conference. Josh Davis, a pastor and staff evangelist for Southwest Radio Ministries, agrees and said the very presence of the GNC is uplifting to all involved, as opposed to the almost comically dimensional aims of the opposition. Davis and his wife Amanda serve as sponsors to the GNC in Southwest Virginia for 4 years. He said the clubs have a very positive impact on the kids in firsthand. He says a survey of more than 200 schools, principals from nearly 30 states where the clubs are located, and almost 90% of them notice an improvement in student behavior. Yeah, who said that, Doc? Yeah, imagine that. Duh. You want better behavior in your schools? Present the gospel. Satanic clubs is not going to make the kids any better in school and keep them from killing each other.
Since we've been doing the Windsor Woods every other Tuesday, the staff has reported that behaviors among the residents has gotten better and how they treat each other and the staff.
Yeah. My goodness, isn't it surprising that the gospel has results? Wow, who would have ever thought it? But you see, folks, the world is blind. They don't see this. You and I see this, we think, that's silly. Of course the gospel gets results. You see, folks, we see through a different set of eyes. We see through the scriptures. Okay? We have the Holy Spirit indwelling us. These people don't. Okay. There are some Satanists who do believe exactly what you think. They're trying to oppose anything that's good, anything that honors God or Jesus Christ. But there are others who promote such things as a way they can just be a thorn in the side of Christians. And he goes on, the potential problems are real and growing. Last year, the American Civil Liberties Union sued the SAUCON Valley, Saucon Valley School District in Pennsylvania, alleging it was in violation of the First Amendment when it blocked across access to satanic clubs. The U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of Pennsylvania ruled in favor of the Satanic Temple. In the statement, in the settlement of the school district was required to pay $200,000 in attorney fees and provide the clubs the same access to school facilities as other organizations, according to an ACLU news release. Wow. Here's what we face today. You know, I find a lot of this so hard to accept and believe, okay? And Liz and I were talking about this a little bit this morning, and what we might have to do. You know, when you're open to public, if you let one bunch in over here, then you got to let these in over here too. I'm not of that mindset. Now, I know I'm not politically correct. I'm the old school. If it's my property and my place, if I don't want you on there, I have the right to tell you not to come on there. But according to the laws and the way society is today, you can't do that, can you? And I understand that, and I don't like it. I don't believe in it. You know, if Satanists want to come to our yard sale and set up, do we have to let them?
No.
I don't think we should.
I don't think we have to.
But what does the law say? What are we forced to do?
This is private property.
It is. It's private property.
Is it? Or are we open to public? I don't know. I don't know the answer to it. I would think so.
They might try to sue us.
But yeah.
That's all they can do.
You know, I don't think we should be, what should have to let anything that's evil here. But see, here again, I'm the old school.
Overcome evil with good.
Overcome evil with good, but the world don't accept that because they think good is evil. You see the frustrations that Satan brings in? And I don't have all the answers for it. But it's what it is. All right.
Can I make one comment?
You sure can.
There's two elementary schools, one that way and one that way, within about 3 miles of this church. And neither one of them has the good news. So, if you contact Good News Club, they will train you, they will furnish you materials.
You couples, I may be coming back, I'll be sure I got plenty of them.
Have a Good News Club.
Back when we were in school, we were able to do this. I remember taking my Bible to school. And you know, okay, thank you. If you have left over, some of the couples give one each. Then I remember taking my Bible school, and I remember in eighth grade, my science teacher, because he had to. And it's how simple a kid is. Okay, this is why, folks. It's important, and I know by all of us. Well, probably all of us are past the child raising days. But this is why it's so important that we put our children to take them and put them in Sunday school and in church. As in eighth grade, I was in school and my science teacher began to teach us evolution. And he did make the statement, well, I have to teach you this. And I go, well, this is so dumb. If you don't know how the world began, let me read it to you. And, you know, and I stood up in class. I said, well, you know, why are we studying all this millions of years ago and all this other stuff? It's very simple how the world began. I mean, I'm just a simple little eighth grader. And this is, I just accepted God's word as God's word. You want to know the answer? Here it is, teacher. You know, I don't have near the education you do, and I knew the answer. Well, you know how that goes over today. Well, anyway, you got them all, John?
Yeah.
Okay. You've got extras? Any extras?
Yep.
A couple of extras. Anybody? Any of you couples want one for yourself? Pass that on, whatever it is. You got one. Anybody else? All right. We're going to start, as I said, a new area here tonight. And the subject that we're going to look at is, I call it special revelation. Does God speak to us today?
Yes.
If He does, how? And how does He not speak to us? How about experiences? Well, I had this experience. This is what happened to me and all that. And we'll get to that. But I taught this, I don't know how long it's been. I'd say at least 10 years ago. And I think John was here because he mentioned it to me. And I'm not a big one to keep pushing terms on you. But I found out over my years in Bible study, there is three extremely important terms that we need to know dealing with bibliology, because we use sometimes these terms loosely or we use them incorrectly. And I'm kind of a stickler on these terms because I know how much it helped me in my Bible study. Not only in my Bible study, but in speaking with other people from other Christian groups and non-Christian groups, and to see how the Word of God, in my experience, has been twisted around to where it's become false and wrong. And these terms, and we're going to go over these. I know y'all are looking at them now. We should look up here because we will go over these terms. It's one of the reasons I don't hand out sheets a lot. And the reason we don't do bulletins is you don't sit there and read them and go through them instead of paying attention. All right, we'll go through all these one at a time. Now, as I see some of you, you're done, guilty, and understanding these terms and putting them into action, because these things can clear things up when you study the Word of God. And not knowing these is the very reason that some people fall into cults and follow even Christian organizations that teaching the wrong thing. And believe me, it's a big thing out here in Christendom. Okay? A huge thing. And this is why we don't accept some teachings on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit and such, is because people take these things and run with it. And one of the biggest things, and we're going to spend some time on this maybe next week. Well, this has been my experience. Uh-huh. How do you combat that? How do you combat? Well, I'm sorry, but that's what happened to me. This is what I've experienced. Exactly. Does your experience match this? And millions of believers, it doesn't matter. This is what my experience has been. They're not saying it, but what they're really doing is, well, the Word of God don't mean that much to me. My experience is greater than God's Word. That's right, Fern. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. All right, let's look at the first one. Very, very, very common term. And now these definitions that I'm giving you are theological definitions. And they're basically going to relate to the Word of God. And this is important. Relating to God's Word. And the first one is revelation. Well, I had a revelation. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. But I hear this all the time. God revealed this to me. No, He didn't. Cult leaders, I had a special revelation from God. No, you didn't. You might have had a special revelation, but it wasn't from God. That little demon sitting there. Here, let's look at this. Revelation. That act of God by which He communicates to the mind of men. Okay. So far, so good. Truths. Not known before. Underline that. I highlighted it. It's the reason we've given you these pieces of paper, folks. Keep them in your Bible. You need to memorize the definitions here. Keep them in your Bible and keep them handy. Now, in our studies coming up the next few weeks, we're going to relate back to these. Okay? And see if it matches up with these theological definitions of these terms. Truth not known before. Now, what is truth not known before? Something that is not known. Now, just because you don't know it doesn't mean that it has not been known before. All right? I don't know how to fly a 747. But does that mean that it don't exist? Does that mean that other people can't do it? No. I don't know it. So it doesn't mean that just because you don't know it, it's truth not known. Truth not known before and is incapable. Here's another word. Incapable of being discovered by the mind of man unaided. Unaided. You can't know this truth in, that's not been revealed in your mind unaided. Now, how does man get aid? Don't tell me go down to the office and sign up for it. This thing that lives in you, right, Curtis? This thing that lives in you is the Holy Spirit. And He came in you the minute you turned your will over to God, repented of your sins, and opened up your being and asked Him to come in. The Holy Spirit came in. Okay? And He aids you. He aids you in discovering truth. But not truth, it's unknown. Now, the only way man can know truth that has never been revealed is if God shows it to him. During the time of the Old Testament, up until the time the Holy Spirit was given, mankind, all of humanity did not know God's plan of salvation. Okay? Told to them in pieces and bits in the Old Testament, but they didn't understand it until Christ came, till He went to the cross. And died and rose again and the Holy Spirit came. Now man's mind is aided and he begins to understand a truth that was not known before. Until God told Moses to write down in the book of Genesis 1:1, man did not have any idea how God made the world. Okay? God told Moses what to write. Now man knows. Any questions on that word? Revelation. Okay, speak. Yes.
What do you say to somebody who suddenly has a revelation?
We'll get to that on the next one. You didn't have a revelation. Just simply tell them, no, you didn't have a revelation. All right, let's look at the next one. Illumination. Illumination is that divine quickening of the human mind in virtue of which it is enabled to understand truths already revealed. By truth already revealed is meant the truth of the Holy Scriptures. Now you open up your Bible and you read Genesis 1:1. God gave Moses a revelation. He revealed truth to Moses that man was totally incapable of knowing or understanding until God gave Moses this revelation. Now you and I, we open up the scriptures, we read this and we go, bingo, I understand that. Did you get a revelation? No. It was illumination. God turned on the light between your ears and you began to understand. And it applies to all the scriptures. As we read the scriptures, we get understanding. Person told me just the other day out here from the dental book, well, I read the Bible and I don't understand it. Why? It's because you don't have the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit opens up your mind and gives you understanding. Just like you come into this building and it's dark, you can't find your way around in the middle of the night, you've got to turn on the lights. Now you can see. Well, this is what illumination is. God's Holy Spirit turns on the light and you begin to understand the Scriptures. But so many people say, oh man, I read the Bible the other day and I got a revelation. Excuse me, but no, you really didn't. The act of illumination came in and you began to understand. Okay? So, illumination is exactly what light is to the eyes. And what illumination is to the mind, what light is to the eyes. It gives you, you can see it. Your mind is opened up and it gives us understanding. All right, I'm going to give you scripture. So let's go to Luke.
Bob.
Yeah, it's Kurtz.
In the Old Testament, do you think that maybe God might have gave some of them knowledge of the plan of salvation? And I ask that because of what Job said. Chapter 19:25 says, it says, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. So could it be possible that it maybe he revealed it to some of them?
The work of the Holy Spirit wasn't active then. What happened with Job is what we're going to go into next.
Okay.
You understand, I mean, did the Holy Spirit exist in the Old Testament?
Yes.
Absolutely, He did. Did the work of the Holy Spirit and humanity work in the Old Testament?
No.
No. The prophets, men and women, the Holy Spirit did not indwell them and take up residence. The writers, and this is, we'll get more into this in a, maybe in a few minutes. The Holy Spirit, the best the way it was explained to me many years ago, and I begin to understand it, is like come in and rest and come into him for a very short while. And began Moses for, we'll just take Moses. And then Moses, God gave Moses the revelation and the revealing, and he began to write the Pentateuch over a period of time. And the Holy Spirit would leave. The ministry and the work of the Holy Spirit didn't stay in him. Like he does to you and I. This is why today, and this is called a dispensation, this period of time that we, you and I live in, this dispensation of grace, that since the fall of Adam, we are a privileged time in humanity where God Almighty in the form of the Holy Spirit comes into you and I and dwells and lives there. They didn't have that in the Old Testament. But we have that today. And when the Holy Spirit did that with Job, and we begin to write these things down, the next one called inspiration, and we'll get into that in a minute.
That's why David said, take not thy Holy Spirit from me, because it would just be given and taken away.
Yeah. And a lot of godly, I'll call them godly men and women in the Old Testament, go their whole life and never know what the Holy Spirit was like. But you and I have that. What a privileged time that we live in, and what a great and mighty time that God actually lives in us and dwells in us. Would you even want to think about living without the Holy Spirit in you? No way, Curtis. That's right. No way. All right, let's look at Luke. Luke 24, and if I go too, I was told last week I'm going too fast to read these things. Stop me, okay? Luke 24, let's read verse 32. And they said one to another, and they're talking about the disciples here, Did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us along the way and while He opened to us the Scriptures? Now, scroll down and go to verse 45. And He said unto them, and this is the words of Jesus, "These are the words which I speak unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." When He opened their understanding, Jesus opened their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. Here was a temporary work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus opened up their understanding. Now you and I have that 24/7. Jesus or the person of the Holy Spirit. We can get up. How many of you ever woke up in the middle of the night and can't sleep? You go in, you open up your Bible, or you begin to pray, and the Holy Spirit begins to open up the Scriptures to you. Yep, right?
No, I was just saying, I was raising my hand because that happens to be a lot. At 2 in the morning, I'm over reading the Word.
Yeah. Right here is illumination. God opening up the Scriptures. And we see this beginning to take place with the disciples. Because this is a little, you know, when the disciples and Jesus was on earth, it's like a transition period. We begin to see things change. But after the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came and indwelled them all, then that began this dispensation of grace that we live in. And the Holy Spirit taking up residence and living in us. And that Holy Spirit, now listen now, listen real close. That Holy Spirit, when He reveals to you, He's going to reveal truth already known. And what we mean by truth already known, right here. Okay? He's not going to reveal something to you that has not been revealed before. Now, He may speak to you and lead you in your personal life into an area that you might not have had no idea you were going. Right there, He just testified of it. Tonight or this morning, I had no idea I'd be pastor. Okay, He didn't have any idea years ago. But God's Holy Spirit led him into that. It's not a revealing of a truth that had not been known before. Maybe it's unknown to him. And many of you have had that same experience in life. And this is the leading of the Holy Spirit. Nothing to do here. All right. You can also go to 1 Corinthians 2:12 and Matthew 16:17. It's going to tell you, I was going to read them, but I'm not going to. You can write them down and look them up when you get home. I was actually concerned that I was going to run out of something tonight before the end. All right, let's look at inspiration now. Is there any question on illumination?
Yes, what was the Matthew scripture?
Matthew 16:17.
Thank you.
All right. Inspiration, that operation of the divine spirit which renders a speaker or a writer infallible in the communication of truth, whether or not previously known. Renders, the operation of the divine spirit which renders a speaker or writer infallible in the communication of truth, whether or not previously known. Now, let me read you another theological definition. I really like this one. This is why we put it in here. Perhaps the best definition of inspiration is that by L. Gleason, professor of systematic theology in Geneva. He said it is that inexplainable power which the divine spirit put forth of old on the authors of the Holy Scriptures in order to their guidance given in the employment of the words they used and to preserve them alike from all error and from all omission. Inspiration thus is really inexplicable. It is power put forth by the Holy Spirit, but we do not know exactly how that power operated. It is limited. Now here is a very important part here, folks. It is limited to the authors of the Holy Scriptures. This excludes all other sacred books as uninspired. It also denies final authority to all churches, church councils, creeds, and Ecclesiastes. It is essentially guidance, that is, the Holy Spirit supervised the selection of materials to be used and the words to be employed in writing. It finally preserved the author from all error and from all omission. And we have, therefore, in the Bible, the verbally inspired Word of God. Now, scriptures that you should all know. 2 Peter. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it is profitable for doctrine and reproof and correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, what we mean by this, the very words of Scripture, every verse, Scripture says every jot and tittle, every A and Z, everything in there, the very words of Scripture were given by the Holy Spirit, that the writers were not left absolutely to themselves in choice of words they should use, but were divinely directed in their selection. This is called revelation inspiration. And what inspiration means is that the words of the Bible are the words of God Himself. Every word of Scripture was breathed out by God Himself. When Paul, Peter, John, James, Moses, the prophets, and etc., this is the best way that I can explain it to you. When they sat down and wrote a letter, or wrote Scripture, they didn't write it down and say, God, is this okay? Is you approve it? Put your stamp of approval. No. What happened, the Holy Spirit says, Paul, take a letter. Write this down. Peter, write this down. Moses, I'm going to reveal to you how I created the world. Write it down. Word for word. Okay, God. Not my words. It's what you're telling me. And this is what we mean by revelation inspiration. Every word from Genesis to Revelation was given to the writers by God Himself. Nothing they thought up. Not their words, but every word was given to them by God. God revealed it to them. The truth that was unable to be understood by the mind of man was given to man by the Spirit of God, and He wrote it down. And this is what we have in the Scriptures. Beware of other books that are out there. The book of Enoch, the book of, I don't know, several, oh, Elijah is one, and
Maccabees.
The Maccabees.
Wisdom, Judgment.
There's all kinds of books out there, folks. They might have a couple of historical truths in them. But God never authorized them. They were never accepted by the canon. Beware of them. I don't even read them.
Luther goes into that. Luther changed all that.
Yeah. Don't, you know. Let me put it this way. I don't care if you live to 140 years old. You stick with this. Okay? Now, once you learn every bit of it, and you memorize this whole book right here, and you live it, and you know it all, maybe you can sit down and start thinking about reading something else.
Amen.
In other words, folks, you ain't never going to get there. Never mind. Yeah, Deb?
Also, beware of paraphrases.
That's something new. It's outside, yeah, particularly the Passion Version of the Scriptures and other things. These are paraphrases. Folks, this is the Word of God, okay? This is what we need. Now, we do have some translations out there that are good, that we have these days, that they didn't have 100 years ago and so on. And the, you know, they're good. We're not talking about translations.
Paraphrasing.
Yeah, we're talking about paraphrasing and other books that are not accepted in here. Okay? You cannot go wrong if you stick right here. If you go outside of this, this is where you're going to get wrong, go wrong with. Okay? And our Word also tells us that you don't have no special revelation. Okay? That all Scripture is given by inspiration to you and I. No Scripture is a private interpretation. Okay? Right here in this book. Frank?
And the truth will set us free.
Yeah. Folks, this is where your leadership stands. I feel safe. I know Dan stands on the Word of God and the other elders. We all stand on the Word. We stick with the Word. But folks, you know, I've got some more. We may do a little bit of this more next week because I was going to give you some ideas or some scriptures such as inspiration without revelation. The book of Acts. Okay? There's no new truth revealed in the book of Acts. It was just a record of and exactly what the Bible says it is. Turn to the first page. You can look at, read it. Acts of the Apostles. That doesn't necessarily mean Acts of Faith Community Church or Acts of Faith Today. Acts of Faith, this is the Acts of the Apostles. The writer wrote this down as God led him. But there's no new revelation there. Okay?
Because there's no new apostles.
There's no new apostles, absolutely. You know, we get into other books that God gave us where like Ephesians and Colossians and Romans. This is the books that God gave us to set our doctrine, our teaching down.
In Acts 9, Paul was chosen. He was chosen. That's the only... He was chosen to be an apostle.
Well, he not only was chosen, but one of the requirements, he had to be an eyewitness to the death and burial of Jesus. And, you know, I know some of us are old here, but come on, folks, we're not that old. Okay. Neither is anybody else in this world, but yet they call themselves apostles. They're whole groups of people that appoint apostles and they don't call their pastor their apostles. It's false. And some of that is because of what we're going to be looking at in further detail in special revelation. Well, God has revealed to me and called me as an apostle. No, he didn't. It may have been a spirit, but it wasn't the Holy Spirit. Did y'all learn something? Keep these. Fold them up. Put it in your Bible. Learn the definitions here. So when things come your way, well, that ain't exactly true. And I try to be careful sometimes in the kind of terms that I use when I'm talking about the scriptures and when we're standing up here to give you the words with the proper definition. And there are hundreds, probably thousands of terms out there, but I have found these three right here to be extremely important in my life. Extremely important in bibliology when you go to interpreting God's Word and understanding when other people from other groups and denominations and religions and such try to bring things to you that's just not true. Just not true. All right, let's pray. Father, again, we give thanks, Lord, for your Word, and we give thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit that illuminates our minds and gives us understanding of what you've so preciously given us. We just thank you, Lord, for this day that we live in and for the time that you have given us, that your Holy Spirit has taken up residence and dwell in us. Father, we pray and thank you, Lord, that you lead and guide us 24/7, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will never leave us and one day will take us on to be with you in Christ's name. Amen.